It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Junkyard Dogcast, everybody. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7, and he's Rusty Mansell of Dogs 24/7. And this is a big one. This is an emergency one. Georgia has gotten its hands on Eric Gilbert. Eric Gilbert is on Georgia's campus. Our man Rusty broke that earlier today. And it's huge. This is massive because this is a five-star prospect out of the Peach State that initially got away. And now he's going to be wearing red and black. And Rusty, you're really familiar with this guy. You've known this kid for a long time. You've covered him. You know what he's capable of. Just your first impression upon this actually happening for Georgia whenever things have taken seemingly so many different turns over the past few months.
Yeah, I go back and think about this one. I've covered this one. I was there Kirby Smart's first camp. And it was the first time I saw Eric Gilbert. He was an eighth grader. He was going into Woodward Academy. And, he was obviously a big kid then, probably 6'3", tight end, athlete kid. And Georgia offered him immediately. Alabama, he went to Alabama the next day. I think Alabama offered him. So he took off from there. And, just talking to him the other night, I haven't talked to Eric Gilbert in probably a year and a half minimum. And just talking to him, I could hear it in his voice. You know, coming home was such a big deal. He's got a little sister. You know, you see it in that picture on the story. His little sister is someone that they're extremely close. And, he was 8 hours away, 7 hours away, whatever his mom said, in a very, very tight family. And, he was very complimentary by LSU. You know, he said his time there was good and, you know, the fan support and everything. He thanked everybody in that story, but, you know, he wanted to come home and he wanted to play closer to home and ultimately ended up in Georgia. And he was that one guy. You know, Georgia loses play. Like, they lost Will Anderson, who potentially could be the number one pick in 2 years, you know, from Dutchtown to Alabama, who's a freakazoid, very good football player. But Eric Gilbert was that one that everybody would ask me about, like, how did he leave? You know, how did Georgia lose him? You know, and he just, people understood and people saw him and knew how special he was. And you saw the breakdown I did with Huddle, put that in the story as well a couple of years ago. And, you know, my thoughts hadn't changed. He's a dynamic, big body receiver. And I thought it was really, pretty interesting. He said, hey, that I'm coming to Georgia, you know, as a wide receiver. And like you said, man, that's going to fill a very big void. And, you know, you saw the quote about him and Darnell Washington together. And he said, you know, hey, let's put these two guys on the field and see if y'all can cover us. And he's excited to be there, but, you know, his mom's excited for him to be there and be close. I love the quote. You don't feel that quote until you hear her say that, but, you know, I asked her, I said, what's your thoughts now? Your son's heading to Athens. She said, look, I'm going to drop him off and I'm driving back home to go to work. I'm not going to sit here 8 hours, have to worry about driving him down the interstate. I'm going right back to Marietta and I'm going to finish up my teaching, you know, close out for the summer. And she was excited about that. You know, she told me, she said she had to get her oil changed because she had nearly 300,000 miles on her car. And I said, yeah, get your oil changed. Probably a good idea. But she was excited. Eric was excited. I think the Georgia Bulldog fans are excited. These mean a little bit more when you know these kids. I was excited for him. It didn't matter where he went because I just wanted Eric Gilbert to get to where I think he's supposed to be, and that's Sunday football, and be able to watch him on that level. And, you know, this stop at Georgia, man, he is needed. And that was a big, big answer by Kirby Smart and his staff.
Yeah. And, you know, Rusty, I look at it and, you know, you talked about how people would come to you and they would say, how did Eric Gilbert get away? Well, this was one of those where, you know, obviously I get some of the same questions. I'm not even anywhere near as tied in recruiting as you and Kip are, but you know, folks know that I cover Georgia and, you know, the folks who cover recruiting that they want to know what I know, which is not all that much most of the time. But I just kept going to the fact that, man, look at what LSU did the year before recruiting Eric Gilbert. I mean, it was incredible. And, you know, this is why I think the one-time transfer thing is very valuable, is because, you know, he went into a situation where, you know, I'm not saying that LSU misled him at all. They did not. I know they did it, but that's what they planned on doing. And he kind of saw an opportunity to kind of join a passing game like that and to get into something really special. And it didn't quite go like he thought it was going to go. It didn't quite go like LSU thought it was going to go. And that's when, you know, you kind of get the feeling that, okay, maybe being 8 hours away from home to not quite be in the situation I thought I was going to be is not where you want to be. And so that's why you come back to Athens. And, you know, I think that that's that they did a really good job recruiting him. I know whenever he hit the portal, you know, everybody was talking about Georgia. I had the feeling that Alabama was going to be in it. Then he commits to Florida, and then he decommits from Florida. Again, with Florida, you couldn't have blamed him. Kyle Pitts, look what just happened. But it was going to be a little bit of a different situation with the quarterback there, with Kyle Trask also moving on, and a lot of turnover on that offense. And then he ends up back in Athens. And I think the big one here, Rusty, is the kind of the link you have to kind of pin together here, and it's the loss of George Pickens for at least part of the season, and adding Eric Gilbert, a guy that has put together a really good SEC season. He's coming in as a wide receiver. You get a bigger, stronger version of a 50-50 ball guy, that element of the offense that George Pickens. I mean, obviously George Pickens can probably do some things Eric Gilbert can do. Gilbert can do some things that George Pickens can't do, but you bring that 50-50 element outside with a guy like Pickens. I'm sorry, with a guy like Gilbert and that physical element. Do you see that as kind of an offset in that particular role, or is this something different?
No, this is that guy. I mean, Georgia needed a big body athletic guy. And the day George Pickens tore his ACL, I maintain, I don't know where, and I may be way off, but I can't see it. I can't see him ever playing again at Georgia. Doesn't say anything bad about him. I mean, this guy's ready to go to the NFL, and you know, he'll be getting some training in and get his knee right. And who knows, he may come back and play. I would be surprised, but I'll tell you this. If I would have told Kirby Smart a couple of days after Pickens tore his ACL that, hey, you're going to end up with Eric Gilbert, that's a smile on your face. Like, that's, you know, you're replacing a big body athlete with a big body athlete. Now, you know, Eric, I think's down. I think he's pushing 240, 235, 240, but you know, he's down a little bit, wants to be a little bit more twitchy and get his weight a little more. I think he'll play 240, 245, you know. And man, Jake, you got a long way to go through the summer, but I'm excited to read some of the stuff you're going to do with him. And I think when you look at Travis Kelce, yes, he's a tight end, but the guy lines up off the ball, off the line of scrimmage so much, spread out. You look at guys like that, and this is what this guy is. And, you know, people are going to ask, you know, Brock Bowers and Darnell. That's to me, it's like the best case scenario, because those guys are going to be single covered. Now, no question. Jermaine Burton, you know, all these guys are going to have to be respected and covered across the board. And, you know, I think I kind of stirred the board up a little bit the other day. And, sometimes I'll get in there and probably have a little knee-jerk reaction. But, listen, Eric Gilbert may not start the very first snap of the Clemson game. But let me tell you something. Eric Gilbert is going to play as much as anybody in that Clemson game, barring something crazy coming on. You know, this kid is ultra-talented. He's a problem. He's a mismatch. And this guy, you know, JT Daniels is standing around going, man, the football gods have shined on me. You know, I got to take advantage of this. And, you know, what's presumed to be a big negative with George Pickens going down, This Eric Gilbert answer and the transfer portal was massive. I can't say it enough. I mean, this kid is different. I'm telling you now, he's twitchy, and Georgia fans are gonna love this one.
I mean, it's the potential here, and listen, I it's not really a comparison, but he gives you Kyle Pitts type of potential. I mean, and if you know there are Florida fans out there who want to laugh at me for saying that, what do you think your coach told him whenever they were recruiting him to get his commitment? They told him to Kyle Pitts. Okay. So, you know, I think that that's the kind of potential you have there. And then when you've got Russ, when you got a pocket passer, when you got a guy that's going to stand in there and get rushed and have to deliver the football from the pocket, having a big receiver like that is so big because he's easy to find. If you work through first and second progression, you need to go back across your progressions. I mean, all that stuff, it's easier to find the big dudes, and now Georgia's got a lot of them. Let's take a quick break here, and then afterward, I kind of want to talk real quick on the other side about kind of how this impacts Georgia's offense as a whole.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, Rusty, we only have a few minutes left. We don't run these emergency podcasts long, but when you look at the offense, you've touched on this a little bit. Jermaine Burton, Kyaris Jackson, proven commodities, okay? Arian Smith, speed. You've got those tight ends that are really talented, real big guys, John Fitzpatrick, Darnell Washington, Brock Bowers, who you know folks have kind of gushed about. We haven't even mentioned A.D. Mitchell's name on this podcast. I'm so glad I said A.D. instead of trying to pronounce his first name. And now you add Eric Gilbert to that. Overall, not just the passing game, but the offense as a whole, if you had to put one word on it, what does this make Georgia's offense more like? More explosive, more versatile? What word would you put on it?
Worrisome. And I'm talking from the defensive side of the ball, because now you put this guy in there, and I've said this about Alabama. You know, Alabama did things to Georgia in 2019, and they did things to Georgia last year where Georgia had three or four of the five receivers covered, but they knew they had a mismatch on one particular guy. And, you know, we've talked about it enough. I mean, Jalen Waddle was too much for Tyreek for Georgia to cover with that nickel. And they were putting Mark Webb into the game. Well, they couldn't get Mark Webb into the substitution on a couple of third downs in that 2019 game. And guess what? He scored twice. So with Georgia, now you put these guys into a situation where, Jake, you basically got to go five for five. You got to cover Jermaine Burton. You got to cover A.D. Mitchell. I'm still saying A.D., yes. You got to cover, you know, Arian Smith, who, oh, by the way, ran a 10-10-100. You got to cover Darnell Washington. You got to cover Brock Bowers. You got to cover now Eric Gilbert. You got to cover Demetrius Robertson, who can hurt you over the top. So, you know, they got a lot of these guys. This just makes you more, for Georgia's sake, complete is that word. But for teams facing them, worrisome, because now you got a matchup across the board in a good team, an Alabama, a Clemson, Ohio State, an elite offensive team, which Georgia's hoping to be this year. an elite offensive team hurts you every series. Florida would do it last year too. I mean, you know, let's just be real about it. When they found out that Georgia couldn't cover Kadarius Toney on the wheel route, it didn't matter who it was. They kept coming to it. And you don't have to be, you know, out X and O when you got a Jimmy and a Joe and they can't cover it. So then you have Kyle Pitts, even though he got hurt, you know, those types of things right there. So it's all about athletes in these big games. So if you're Clemson, you're thinking, we better be 5 for 5 because we've got to cover these guys across the board now. And JT Daniels has just picked up another major, major weapon.
Yeah, you kind of hit on something that a word I kind of had in my head, which is a headache. It makes Georgia's offense much more of a headache, even with the run game. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, trying to run the ball to the boundary and you want to motion, you know, Eric Gilbert in kind of tight to a bunch formation, you've got a 240-pound receiver blocking a 6 foot, 185, 190-pound cornerback. Now you've got that mismatch. You're going to be able to run to the edge. You know, you've got all these different ways that you can get a guy the ball, the back shoulder fade. If you cover everything else perfectly and they just want to go one-on-one to Eric Gilbert on the back shoulder fade or Jermaine Burton, you've got that. Like you said, you've got to go 5 for 5. And that takes a lot of mental gymnastics post-snap, pre-snap.
That puts a ton of pressure on you because Here's the thing. Can we blitz? You know, can we leave our guys in one-on-one? And knowing that, hey, we got to put a backer on this guy if he comes out of the backfield, you know, it just puts so much pressure on you. And that's why these offenses are so good now, these elite offenses who have a guy that can get the ball out, get the ball to the right guy. It's an offensive game, Jake, and you're right. It's a headache. It's something that every single play you got to account for. And I'll say this. I've said it, and I'll say it all summer. You got to have an offense that scores 40. If you want to have confetti in the last college football game of the year fall on your team, you better be able to drop 40, 45 on anybody because that's what it takes to win a national championship. And this right here is a piece that potentially could give Georgia that big edge they were missing after losing George Pickens.
And we'll see if there's more to come because, you know, Georgia's still involved with some transfer portal situations. We just entered, Rusty, a massive month of recruiting, and God knows what we're going to have to talk about as far as that goes. So don't hang up on us, folks. Stick with us over at Dawgs 24/7. We're going to have plenty to talk about here in the coming days, in the coming weeks, in the coming months. But for this episode of the Junkyard Dogcast, I'm Jake Rowe with Dawgs 24/7. He's Rusty Mansell from the same place, and you guys take it easy.
It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.